morning, everyone. What a beautiful day. We've got sun. Mm. That just makes you feel so much better, doesn't it? You know, when it's horrible and dull, you feel awful and dull, don't you? But this morning, it's beautiful. Welcome to all of you this morning, and of course to them that are listening on YouTube. I usually try to tell you a little story about what's happened in my life. Absolutely nothing spiritual, this at all. But I hope it might put a smile on your face. Some of you might know it. You know that I work in a shop during the week. And I took some clothes and we put them through and put the hangers on them and did all that. And then one of our customers came in and she says, "Tina, this will suit you." I said, "Oh, yeah, it will." Picked it up, put it there. And then at the end of the day, I paid for it. And I got home, hung it up. And then on Sunday morning to come to church, I thought, "Oh, I'll put that blouse on." Picked it up and looked at it. I bought my own blouse back. I paid £5 for my own blouse. See, I told you to make you laugh. It's good to be together this morning. And I know that some people might be feeling that they need a bit of a hug. So if you sat next to anybody, give them a hug. Go on. I don't care if it's boys as well. Just give everybody a hug. Okay, well, now we've moved about a bit, it makes us feel a lot better, doesn't it? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each other. Thank you for the times that we're down. Thank you for the times that we're up, because in all of that, you are with us. Thank you for this morning, for hugs from people probably we would never normally go and hug. So thank you, and we thank you that there is love shared amongst us. Help us to encourage each other, Lord, to love each other and to look out for each other. And now, Lord, we ask that you will take the service, that you will use it to your glory, that we might go out saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. So, Lord, take us just as we are and use us this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's have a time of quiet, a time of saying thank you, and a time of praising God. If anyone feels they want to say thank you to God for whatever, one line, that's great. Heavenly Father, I thank you, excuse me, I thank you, Lord, that you are my Father, you are my friend, and you are my Redeemer. I give you all the glory for that, Lord. And I thank you this morning for my church family. I thank you, Lord, that I know I'm loved. I'm loved here, and I'm loved by you. And that's such a privilege. And so, Lord, I just open it up now to your children and let them say thank you for whatever, Lord, in your wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us be that sweet, sweet sound, Lord. We do come before you knowing that over this last week, that, Lord Jesus, we've done and said things that we probably shouldn't. But you know all that, Lord, and we come before you to say sorry. And Lord Jesus, you are quick to forgive. And Lord God, take us just as we are, warts and all, Lord, and give us that love for people that you have. Help us to look at people as you see them, Lord, and to love them just as they are, just as they are, Lord. So take the rest of this service, and may your Holy Spirit brood alone with us, Lord, and take over We give you that permission, Lord, to do that. Move on us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to, our last one is, great is the darkness that covers the earth, oppression, injustice, and pain. And we have got quite a bit of that at the moment, as we know. But you know what? It's an amazing world to live in. And I thank God that each morning, I said to a customer the other day when she came in, and she's about 90-ish, like Margaret, and one or two more. And I said, are you all right, Rosie? She said, I am, love. I got up this morning, so I am all right. And, you know, what an attitude. What an attitude. No moaning. No, oh, it's cold. But, no, I am, love. I got up this morning. Yay. Right, it's Carol, please.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all this morning. And, of course, those of you who are watching on YouTube, as Tina said, it's a lovely, brilliant, bright morning. And I think we all feel a little bit better than when we came in. So thank you. Thank you for your leading the worship and for everybody that's contributed. It's a lovely feeling. So Suzanne will be bringing God's word this morning, and we will be taking communion as part of the service as well. This afternoon, prospects are meeting.
Yes!
Somebody's excited about that, anyway. It's 3 o'clock this afternoon down here at church. Tuesday, the art playgroup at 10 o'clock and 1. Wednesday, the 19th, a prayer meeting down here at church at 11. And Thursday, the lunch club at 12 o'clock. So, very much what we generally do during the week. I mentioned the AGM again, and I'll keep going on about it, excuse me. Last week, we have got a position vacant for a deacon. Mark has been nominated and seconded for that post. But if anybody else feels that God's leading them to do this kind of work and join the leadership team, you need a nomination and a seconder. If anyone feels that they might, that they can see someone that they think might be good for this job, just speak to them. And then if you need any advice or what it entails or anything, just come and speak to one of us. It's not a job for life, these posts that we have. They generally run for 3 years. And then if you want to be re-elected, fair enough, or you want to be re-nominated. You're not signing your life away, put it that way. But once you get on the team, you don't want to leave, do you? Leave it at that. The deadline is next Sunday, though, so please. So if all the nominations need to be in by then. For quite a few years now, Jan has been involved in a tap dancing show. It's a club that she goes to every week in Thurcroft. Over the years, they've raised thousands of pounds, and it's always for Rotherham Hospice, which I'm sure is an amazing charity and close to many of us, I think. She did a concert last night, which was very good. And if anyone would like to donate, she has a details of a Just Giving page, or you can give the good old cash. If anyone feels that they'd like to donate, she's had sponsor sheets in the past, but she didn't have them this year. I don't know why, but anyway. Oh, she was poorly being so. Yeah, sorry about that, love you. So and it's still open. Last night, before everything that was raised last night, they'd already raised £3,000. So it's, you know, they really do a great job. So if see Jan if you'd like to donate to Rotherham Hospice at any time. Website, Facebook page all regularly updated, as I usually say, and then. If you want to give us a call, that's absolutely fine as well. We're always someone around. I'd just like to pray just for a few minutes for something that's on my mind this morning. It's not a big, massive thing, and it perhaps even might sound trivial, but God likes us to bring stuff, doesn't he, to us when we need to. I'm sure many of you, especially the football fans, will know that it's the Steel City Derby this afternoon in Sheffield, which means that Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday, two local teams, are playing each other. Which, on the surface, sounds absolutely brilliant, and it will be, I'm sure, there'll be a lot of excitement there, but it does have the potential to turn a bit ugly. We've known in the past, sometimes tempers, whatever. So I just want to pray for that match this afternoon and that it will just be good and that there won't be any trouble and no one will get hurt and it will just be a really good, for our city when people see it on television and they see how well it's gone and... So these teams could be good ambassadors for our city this afternoon, couldn't they? So I just want to pray. I've got family that are going, so I perhaps have got a bit of a more of a ulterior motive for praying, but I just want them all to be safe and have a good time. So, Father God, I just bring our city of Sheffield to you this afternoon as these two football teams play each other. Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. There's a lot of support for both teams, I know, in this area. But I just want to bring it before you, Lord, and just ask that it will be just a good game, that they will play their best, that the atmosphere will be good, and that there will be no trouble, and everybody will be kept safe. So I pray all this now, Lord, in your name. Amen. So the reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12 to 21, and then into chapter 13 up to verse 13. It's page 959 if you want to look at it in the Bibles in front of you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Not again the head to the feet, I have no real need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I will give away all I have. And if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Susan.
Thank you, Carol. Right. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it freely in this country, as many copies as we like, many translations. Pray, Lord, that we won't take it for granted and that we will be proud and wanting to read it more and more and to know more and more about you. We pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to us this morning, that you'll just come and tell us what you want us to hear, that we will go away from here keen to know you more and closer to you. So just bless us, Lord, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. Hi, good morning. It's now the second Sunday of Lent already. Soon be Easter Sunday and Easter eggs. Well, last week Rob started this series focusing on the power of the cross and what to expect as the message of the cross is proclaimed. He reminded us that the best job we can have is to preach Christ crucified. The message of the cross is about God approaching us on his terms. The story of the cross is the greatest love story ever told. And as we journey through this Lenten season, we find ourselves at the foot of the cross, gazing at Christ's immense love for humanity, for us. The cross, a symbol of suffering and shame, becomes for us a beacon of hope and a testament to God's boundless love. So today we will explore how the cross equals love, or means love, through the lens of our scripture. It's now just a week since Shrove Tuesday, if you remember that far back. How many of you remember eating pancakes for your tea? Anybody? Well, sorry. Eating pancakes, of course, is one of the most popular traditions of Shrove Tuesday. Pancake Day, or Shrove Tuesday, serves as a final day of preparation before the 40-day season of Lent, which is traditionally a period of fasting, prayer, and repentance. Interestingly, the name Shrove comes from the Old English word shrive, meaning to confess sins and seek absolution. Traditionally, Christians would confess their sins on this day to spiritually prepare for Lent. Lent is a sacred season of reflection and preparation, which is still observed by many Christians worldwide, and started on Ash Wednesday. Of course, go up to Holy Saturday, leading up to Easter Sunday. I wonder if the significance of Lent has been lost a little bit in our culture nowadays. So let's just consider first what Lent really is. The 40 days of Lent is a time we remember the 40 days Jesus spent fasting in the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan but remained faithful to God's will. You can read about that in Matthew 4 if you want. It mirrors Christ's journey of sacrifice, of self-denial, and of obedience. It helps us to reflect on Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross, which we remember on Good Friday, and in his resurrection on Easter Sunday. We remember Christ died for all of our sins so that we can have a relationship with him. And all we have to do is to ask him to forgive us and to be our friend, our Lord, and our Saviour. Lent is a season of repentance, where we examine our lives, confess our sins, and seek God's forgiveness. It's a time of spiritual renewal as we draw closer to God through prayer, possibly past fasting and other acts of service. Not sure how many of you have given things up for Lent. I had a school friend who every year gave up chocolate, as did the entire family, but they didn't really go to church other than for special occasions, which always made me think, I didn't give up chocolate, but then I didn't like it much anyway. Many of us do observe Lent by giving up luxuries or pleasures as a form of self-denial, which is echoing Jesus' fasting in the wilderness. This practice does help us to cultivate discipline, humility, and a deeper reliance on God. Jesus, of course, spent time fasting and seeking God when he was in the wilderness for those 40 days. And Lent encourages acts of compassion, such as giving to those in need or serving others. It's a reminder to live out God's love through actions that reflect Jesus' teachings. So Lent is deeply meaningful, and it's a time to reflect on Jesus' life, on his sacrifice, and on his resurrection. It should be a journey of transformation and renewal, reminding us of the depths of God's love and grace for us. So as we continue this journey through Lent, I want us to focus today on God's deep love for us, on Jesus and all he has done for us. And as we stand at the foot of the cross, we gaze upon the greatest love story ever told. We see God's immeasurable love for humanity. The cross, a symbol of suffering and shame, and yet a beacon of hope and a testament to God's boundless love. So as we look at today's scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 through to 13, the Apostle Paul wrote this as a letter to the church in Corinth, a city known for its cultural diversity, for its wealth, and for its moral challenges. The Corinthian church was facing significant issues, including division, immortality, and disputes over spiritual gifts. Paul wrote this letter to address these problems and provide guidance for unity and Christian living. The famous words of chapter 13 are sandwiched between chapter 12 on spiritual gifts and chapter 14 on spiritual gifts with love. So why did Paul write 1 Corinthians 12 through to 13? He was addressing division and unity in the church. Life was not all straightforward in the early church, and in chapter 12, Paul discusses the church as a body of Christ, emphasising that every member is valuable and has a unique role. The Corinthian church struggled with division, particularly around spiritual gifts. Some members believed that certain gifts, like speaking in tongues, were more important than others. Paul wrote to correct this misconception, teaching that all gifts, regardless of their outward appearance, are essential for the healthy functioning of the body of Christ. So this section aims to bring unity by reminding us all that no one can say, I don't need you, as all members are interdependent. And then he highlights the importance of love. Chapter 13, I think, is one of the most famous passages in the Bible. A passage we seem to associate with weddings, sometimes with memorials, mostly weddings, and a passage which, for that reason, we think of more lovey-dovey. But that's not why Paul wrote the words to the Corinthians. Paul's transition from discussing spiritual gifts to emphasising the supremacy of love was to remind the Corinthians that the use of spiritual gifts should always be rooted in love. Without love, even the most extraordinary gifts and actions are meaningless. This was a rebuke to the Corinthians, who were displaying pride and competition in their use of gifts, rather than building up the church in love. And he wrote it defining what true Christian love is. He provides a clear and practical definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. He contrasts the eternal nature of love with the temporary nature of spiritual gifts such as prophecy and tongues. He encourages believers to prioritise love above all else, as it is the foundation of Christian life and the greatest reflection of God's character. So those verses say, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here, the kind of love the Apostle Paul is asking the Corinthians to strive for is agape love, a love that is unselfish, undeserving, and not dependent on getting anything in return. This is the love Christ has for us. Agape love is the love of God. God doesn't love us because we're attractive and adorable, or even lovable. The Bible says he loves us because he loves us. As simple as that. In the Old Testament, we see that God didn't love the Israelites because they were a great nation, but because he is love and he chose to care for them. He chose to love them, even as slaves. Deuteronomy 7, 7 to 8. The Lord did not set his affections on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We've read and heard the stories of how God loved and cared for the Israelites before and through their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The unimaginable miracles God performed for them, like the parting of the Red Sea, feeding them, giving them water. And even when they turned their backs on God and sinned, God still loved them and welcomed them back. This kind of love was sacrificial, a love that God has for us then and now. He still has it for us. Romans 5, 8 reminds us, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The verse, I think, shows us the depth of God's love, reminding us of Christ's sacrificial death was given even when humanity was in sin. And our chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul lists the attributes of agape love so that we can learn to love like Christ and become more like him. God is love. As we think about these qualities of love, let's remember Jesus' love for people. when he was alive on earth and now. Love is patient. It endures trials while waiting for God's best. Many examples in the Bible. Love is kind, it's respectful, it's helpful, it's considerate, it's empathetic towards others. And love does not envy. We can celebrate one another's accomplishments without feeling like their successes make us inadequate. In the Bible, I sort of thought about Saul's jealousy for David and the consequences of that. Because envy can make us rather bitter. Even if we think about Joseph's brothers, because they knew their father loved him greatly more than them, they hated him and treated him quite nastily. Love does not boast. There's no pride or selfishness attached to agape love. We're not better than anyone else. The Bible states pride is destructive. In Proverbs 16:8, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It is not easily angered. It overlooks someone's shortcomings, especially when we know we have tons of them ourselves. Love doesn't delight in wrongdoing. We don't celebrate evil, but instead truth. Love rejoices in Jesus, who is the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a statement of ultimate perseverance in the face of difficulties and hardships, all things. Not just the easy things, but all things. If we only love when it's easy, rock credit is that to our character. We read in Matthew 5:46-47. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Agape love is far beyond our human capabilities. The capacity to love like this is only possible with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit transforms our hearts and minds. We can prayerfully ask Jesus to help us practice this, and he will be faithful to answer. Just imagine a world where everybody loved like Christ. Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary for us is indeed the ultimate example of sacrificial love. Jesus Christ on the cross was the ultimate act of giving himself for others, demonstrating what it means to love without reservation. True, unreserved, sacrificial love for us. Jesus died a death on the cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship with him. He died like we prayed earlier on, for our sins. Those things we've done and said that we shouldn't are forgiven when we ask them to be. The cross is indeed the most powerful demonstration of sacrificial love. This is truly consistent love. Paul's description of love emphasizes consistency in action, being patient, kind, and enduring in love. This mirrors the consistent, unwavering love that Jesus demonstrated through his life and his death. This love is selfless. Just as Christ's sacrifice on the cross was ultimately the putting others first, we are called to emulate that love in our lives. Because could have had that earlier. By living out this kind of love, we as believers reflect the selfless, sacrificial love of Christ, putting others first and serving the community in unity and harmony. This love isn't about seeking recognition, but about genuinely caring and prioritising others, just as Jesus did for us. So how can we be more like Jesus? In today's passage, Paul told the Corinthians that love is the ultimate mark of maturity and the clearest evidence of transformed life in Christ. By focusing on love, the Corinthians would better reflect the unity and character of Christ to the world and the importance of love in Christian community. He explains how the different parts of the body, representing different members of the church, must work together in harmony, each part being vital to the functioning of the whole. So as we reflect this Lent, let's just pause and let Jesus show us more of his love for us. His love is a love that gives all. I'm going to read those verses again, even though we've read them. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. The cross stands as the ultimate symbol of sacrificial love. Christ gave his all for us. Can we love others, even though awkward people come into our lives, without reservation? This love isn't about grand gestures or flowery words. It's about consistent, selfless actions that put others first. I wonder if you can think of a time when somebody's sacrificial love has touched your life, has made a difference to you, and how you felt. How can you emulate that love in your own relationships and when you come in contact with people? Jesus's love is a love that transforms. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." The love demonstrated on the cross has the power to transform us from the inside out. It's not just about changing our actions, but it's about renewing our hearts and our minds. As we embrace this love, we begin to see ourselves and others through God's eyes. I'm sure you've heard testimonies of many people whose lives have been transformed from encountering Christ's life. We all have testimonies as well of how he's done it to us if we've given our lives to Jesus as our friend, Lord and Saviour. But one example in the Bible that stood out to me lately is that of the Samaritan woman at the well. In John 4, we see Jesus showing her that he was interested in her. He knew her past. He knew her circumstances. He knew she was at the well at a time when nobody else would be because she didn't want to mix with people. And yet, he showed love. He showed himself to her. And she responded, didn't she? She was transformed. She was no longer afraid of other people. She went and told them about Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus loved them all. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan. And yet she had a message to tell others. And many came to know of Jesus' love because of her. Oops, sorry. And Jesus' love is a love that leads. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, we read John 10:11. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He lived it out to the fullest. His example on the cross shows us what true love is. It shows us how true leadership is as well. It's not just about power or control. It's about sacrifice and service. So let's just spend a moment thinking about what areas of our lives we could lead with love this week, or how you could lay down your life for others just as Christ did for us. As we conclude this part, I just want to remind you of Paul's powerful words. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So this Lenten season, may we not only contemplate the love shown to us, but let us show Christ's love to others. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you have really shown us how to love people, how to come alongside people, how to just be there sometimes for people. You are an example that we want to be like. We want to be more like you. We want to know you more, to understand you more, to love you more, so that we can be more like you. Pray, Lord, that you will give us the opportunities to show your love to our friends and family and people that we come in contact with, that they will see and want to know you too. Oh, Lord, we do pray that you will use us and that you will help us to be more and more like you day by day. In your precious name, amen. As a response to having talked about and thought about Christ's sacrificial love for us, I thought it was very fitting that we come before his table. That we come, our Lord invites us to come and to share bread and wine with him. So we come as we are, all of us who love the Lord Jesus. We come to this table not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We come when we're fearful to be made new in love. We come when we are doubtful to be made strong in faith. We come when we're regretful to be made whole. We come both young and old alike. In Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, we read, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's just pray. Loving Lord Jesus, I come before you now and confess that you alone are the living God. You alone are worthy of all honour and praise. You set aside your heavenly glory and came into this world as a man to redeem lost sinners from the curse of the law. I praise you that we, if we come to you, we can be forgiven. So as we prepare to take this bread and cup, let us just examine our hearts in a moment of silence. Lord God, forgive me for my failings, my selfishness, and my lack of love towards others. Cleanse me from all stain of body and soul. Help me to become more like you every day. May this communion meal remind me of your sacrifice on the cross, where you died so that I might be forgiven of everything I do wrong. Help me to remember your love and grace. And may I live in a way that brings heaven to earth for those around me. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, the Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's just give thanks. Eternal God and Father, we offer you our praise and thanks for the creation of your world in its richness and glory. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, the eternal Word made flesh, sharing in our humanity and revealing your love and compassion for his ministry in word and action, his lifting up of the lowly and his healing of the broken. We thank you for his sacrificial death on the cross for the redemption of the world. And for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. We thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit powerfully present in our people and world today. Please send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we might be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. In your precious name, amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." We're going to, if Mark and Tim can come forward, please. We're going to give out the bread and the wine. If you eat the bread as you receive it and retain the cup, please. It is gluten-free bread and non-ribena, basically. Non-alcoholic drink. If you don't want to take them, then just let the elements pass you by. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ, Father of all. We give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, open the gates of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Suzanne. If anybody here doesn't know that love, that sacrificial love that Jesus gave, if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, please don't go out without talking to somebody outside of you, or anybody of the leadership team, because it is one of the best things anyone ever could. Well, for me, it transformed my life and maybe even saved our marriage. So please contemplate and think what Suzanne has been sharing with us. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.
Amen.